Doesn't it make your heart swell up to see these guys do this? I say that every time I get up here after them, but I mean it every time. And guys, you do well. You do well, and we're proud of you. I just have a couple of thoughts that you're not going to like hearing a preacher say this, but it may not be quite as organized as you might normally think that I would try to do, but just some things for us to ponder in light of us concluding this LTC program for this year and whatnot. Most of you are aware of the fact that I have a 3.5-year-old squirt that runs around, and I've been in that realm of fatherhood, I know, for a very short time, but 3 years seems like a long time. And I really, as I look ahead to thinking about it in the 14, 15, 16, 18, I salute you. Once you enter that realm of parenthood, Proverbs 22:6 becomes a lot more special to you. And we know the verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Most of us, particularly those of us who have children, have come to that passage and brought to it the interpretation as that the way he should go is applying to God's path and God's path only. That's the only application for it. And it makes sense, especially for those of us who have a deep-rooted faith in God. But I know one of the things that gets rough for a lot of parents is that when they bring that passage, train up a child in God's way, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I've seen many a parent already in my life whose child departed from it. And they spent many years kicking themselves, trying to figure out, what did I do wrong as a parent? What else could I have done that would have changed the outcome in the life of my son or daughter? And did I fail God's command because they turned away from God's path? And that's a topic that needs to be discussed, because I would say, I've heard people talk about the Proverbs and that you have to be a little careful sometimes with making the Proverbs absolutes, but that wisdom literature many times can fall under the realm of a general truth of life. If you train up a child in God's way, general rule of thumb says he will not depart from it. But I want to, and I know I've talked about this before, but I think it's been long enough that there are a few people who haven't heard me mention this before. I heard a guy one time who came to Proverbs 22:6, and I don't read Hebrew, I don't interpret Hebrew, so I have to kind of take this a little bit with what he says, because he has that ability of doing it. But he brought a little bit of a different perspective to Proverbs 22:6 for me. And he said, there are some who would take that passage, and when they go back to the original Hebrew and all that wonderful geeky language stuff, they come out with an interpretation that says, train up a child in his own way, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Most of us understand and realize that God has bestowed certain talents and abilities within each and every one of us. We spend a lot of time in our pulpits, and particularly in our Bible classes, talking about the fact that God has given different abilities to different people. Not everyone does the same function as the eye in the body. They don't all perform the same function of the foot or the hand within the body. We understand that, but I think that if this potential alternate reading of Proverbs 22:6, Train up a child in his own way, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If it's accurate, consider for just a minute the interpretation that we now have. Train up a child in the ways and talents instilled in him by God, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train that child to use the talents and the abilities that God has given him or her. Train them to use those talents in their livelihood. Train them to use them in the church. Train them to use those abilities within their families and in other relationships. And you teach them how to be profitable, if you'll allow me that word. You teach them how to be profitable with those skills, and they won't depart from them. They will love their life. They will love those skills, and they will love the work that they are being able that they are able to do for God and for their family and for their community and so forth. And so, for just a minute, as we bring up this idea of training up a child to use those talents, training up a child in his own way, consider the question that a lot of parents ask. I know that I ask it a lot, especially with where I am in my progress of fatherhood. How do I go about training him to do that? There's a lot of life left for this child. A lot that I want to see him do. A lot that others want to see him do or her do. How do I, as a God-fearing parent, train my child to go in his own way so that he doesn't depart from it? A couple of thoughts. First of all, to train up a child in his own way, we as parents, as youth leaders, as teachers, all who are involved in a child's life, we must help them recognize those talents. Some people come by this recognition very, very easily. Something happens within their life, and we see certain characteristics that spring up in children very, very early in their lives. And it's not difficult for some parents to pick out, hey, my kid's really, really good at that. Maybe the best. Okay, sorry, that one flopped. But my kid's really, really good at that. And I think I need to try to help them harness that ability. And you know, there's different times where we see that. And as parents and as leaders, the first aspect that I think of helping a child recognize their talents, we do this by creating environments that help these kids use the physical abilities they've been given. As you'll find out later, I'm real big on programs like LTC. Real big. I grew up in one very similar to it, and as you've all heard me say multiple times, I credit that program that I did growing up as one of the major reasons why I have the profession that I have today. Somebody created an opportunity for me as a child to step in and try to find my talents. And I dare say that whatever realm of employment you have, whatever field or career you have stepped into yourself, you would probably have a similar story along the way. Somebody created opportunities to help you figure out what you were good at. And sometimes it's not just simply creating opportunities, but sometimes we have to try to hone in our own skills to recognize when that opportunity presents itself. We like to call them teachable moments. Those of you that have had kids, I mean, you know that it never ceases to amaze a parent what kinds of questions will come out of their children's mouths and at the most random times. They hear something on the radio. I'm sorry to use one from my own life, but that's the only life I got. So the other day we were driving in the road and somebody said something about debt on a credit card. And Jay said, "Dad, what's a credit card?" And he didn't like the answer I gave him. He didn't think that sounded right, that you swipe the card, but you still have to pay for it later. Well, I would like to think that maybe moments like those in our lives are teachable moments. The other day, about a week ago, we were out at, several of us were out at Nathan Ingram's Beast Feast. Great food. And there was a group of young boys there from, I kind of gathered they were from an inner city ministry. And it was really interesting because, you know Texans and a lot of the folks we got around here at Woodland Oaks, we love our guns. And so it didn't take too long before several guys had come and they'd pulled out the handguns and set up the targets and they were just practicing, you know, just having some fun. And the guy that had brought these inner city boys came up and these boys got to go through just the simple, got to go through a basic lesson on gun safety. What is the proper way to respect this piece of machinery? And you know that coming from an inner city, that was a lesson. Not saying that it's something that they need to know because they're going to go do it, but that's a positive influence because of the impact that things like handguns have on inner cities and gangs and all that kind of stuff. To have an opportunity where a boy can be out on a ranch, out in the woods, and have somebody teach him a way to respect this piece of machinery, that's a teachable moment. And by the way, while I'm up here, I'm just going to put a plug in for Nathan. I don't know how many of you know this, but all throughout his property, he has actually constructed campout sites. Tents with cots, with fire rings, and he says, "Corey, I wish more people would come out and use those." So if you're ever looking for a camping trip, call Nathan. And I venture to say there's a pretty good chance you're going to have your place to go have your camp out. And by the way, that's another great example of a time where you can have a teachable moment with your child. And I'm talking about things that I enjoy. I know that not every parent, not every family gets into things of those nature, but the principle still applies. As you go through your life, as you meet kids, and as you see the things that they are interested in, and as you try to help develop your kids, one of the things that we must be doing, we must be creating opportunities to help our kids recognize and realize what talents God has given them. And we must be looking for those teachable moments when something comes to the surface, there's just a flash of interest in their eyes, and we try to jump on that opportunity to help maybe plant a seed for something they can pursue later. And I'll even add this thought as well before I press on my next point. Sometimes it may take a little coaxing on the part of the parent to get a child to step out and do something they may feel a little uncomfortable with. Some of the greatest experiences that people have, some of the greatest lessons that they learn come from opportunities or from activities in their lives that maybe they didn't exactly want to do at that point in time, but mom and daddy said, "You know what? You need to do this. This would be good for you." Sometimes, parents, we might need to coax our kids along into trying something new in order to challenge them a little bit more. And as I say that, trying to challenge them more, I think one of the other points, one of the other ways that we need to consider of how we bring up our children in their own way is that very fact that we don't remove all of their challenges. Some of us have had some of us had very difficult childhoods. Some of us had what you might call in the grand scheme of things, the typical average childhood. Some of us had very easy childhoods. You talk in a group this big, you start talking to folks about what it was like when you grew up, and you're going to get a vast array of different experiences. But one of the things that it seems to me that almost every parent says, when they have children come along, whether they state it specifically or not, it's usually a thought in the back of their mind, you know, I'd really like for my kid to have it a little bit better than I had it. I'd really like for my kid to not have to go through what I went through as a child. And that's admirable and good to a point. But as we look around, particularly in this area of the world, as we look around, there are a lot of kids in this modern day who are not having to go through any challenges because our parents or some parents have set up a mentality of, I'm not going to make my kid go through that. And just to be blunt about it, I think that's a mistake. If we were to go to the book of Judges, and you look at chapter 3, the first couple of verses, I ran across this in the daily Bible reading a few weeks ago, and it just, for some reason, just stuck with me. At this point, the conquering of the land of Israel, of the conquest of Canaan, has come to an end in Joshua's life. There's still some more fighting that has to be done for the Israelites, but if you'll look at the first couple of verses of Judges chapter 3, now these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them. That is, all who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it formally. And then he goes on to list a group of nations. And that just kind of ingrained itself in my mind. You know, what's the thing that every parent does not want their kid to have to go through? They don't want them to have to go through war. You talk to anybody who has survived the various wars throughout our history, and they talk about the mentality of the country and the intensity that was there. And I'll tell you, for me personally, I don't want my child to have to grow up in a world in which he's scared as to whether or not somebody's going to come and bomb his country. And Lord willing, I won't have to have my child grow up in that. But I did find it interesting that in an era in which it was commonplace for wars to be fought year in and year out, God intentionally did not take away all of Israel's enemies for the sake of their children. They needed to be able to learn some of the hardships and some of the tests and the trials that their parents went through, so that they maybe would have an appreciation for the land that God had given them. They would have an opportunity to see God work in that setting of war and battle in the same way that their parents had seen God work, and therefore building the faith in God a little bit deeper in the children. And I know that you take that principle and you bring it here to today, and that's going to be a very subjective conversation of what challenges then are you suggesting that we leave for our children. And I'm not prepared to answer that, okay? I'm really not. You want to come talk to me in private about it, I'll be happy to chew the fat with you on it, and we can probably have about 15 different ideas between two people. You have to decide that on some level between you and your family and you and God. But I think the principle is the same. One of the things that helps our children grow and learn to use their talents is the fact that they are actually challenged. And they go through some level of difficulty in their life. Not throwing them into poverty intentionally. Obviously, I don't mean that. But you present them with some sort of challenge that is suitable for the age in which they are growing up. But you don't throw them to the dogs either. You guide them through it. And you help them learn how to react to those situations. Because even as Christians today, God still anticipates us growing and learning from our tribulations. Bryce read for us Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And in the first two or three verses there, we see Paul point out, you know, hey, we love coming to church and singing the songs, and we can pray and read and study, and we can have fellowship with our Christians, and we can say amen to that, and we can enjoy that. It's easy to be happy at church. It's easy to be happy when things are going great. Then he adds in verse 3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Excuse me? I don't know about you, but sometimes I cry when my tribulations come. The last thing on my mind when I hit a hardship is jumping up and down for joy. But he tells us that through these tribulations, when we have the tribulations, we get perseverance. The ability to press, to stand up under the pressure and to press on and to push on further. And once we've gained that perseverance, we gain that proven character. I know how I'm going to react to such and such situation because I've been through it before. It's part of who I am, the response and the attitude with which I approach my tribulations. God has proven to me that He will bring me through it. Proven character. And when we have the proven character brings about hope, an expectation, a reasonable expectation about what's to come. And that's where my faith comes in. My proven character brings about greater hope or greater trust in God. That God is going to bring me through and that God is going to make me stronger for it in the end. And when I've gone through it, I can pass it on to my kids. I can pass those lessons. I can pass those principles. I can teach them to trust God more. And folks, this is one of these places where we can train our kids to go in their own way. This is one of those tools that God has given us, this family here in this room. This is one of the tools that we have to make sure that our kids get the experiences that they need to serve God, to learn how to serve God to the best of their ability. Because it's a faith, it's a place where even when we have tribulation, we have someone to help us through it, to teach us, to guide us, to comfort us. And we build our faith as individuals and as a church. And so tonight as we wrap this up, I'd like to ask you, where is your character standing right now? What are you teaching your children? Are you giving them opportunities to grow? Are you taking opportunities that God has presented you for you to grow? Do you need to rededicate your life to Him and refocus your life on going about God's way and using the things that He's given you to serve Him and not serve yourself? If you need the prayers of the church, you can have those. We stand with our arms open, ready to pray for you. If you need to begin that walk with God, you can be immersed tonight. You can begin that walk with Him. Have your sins forgiven and be clothed in Christ. If you have any need to respond to God's call, won't you please come while together we stand and sing.